Hi, good evening, everybody. I'm on Blog Talk Radio tonight. It's, what is this tonight? The 7th of October, and got about a minute to go before the show. Looking forward to doing a show tonight. It's been a while. And I have a guest, Arnie Hertz, and he'll be joining me from LegalSanity.com. I'm going to talk about that. It's called Open Air Sunday. We're going to take calls. We're going to spend time shooting down the guy who runs the place. We'll see. Hopefully people are nice and kind, like I am. But then again, people may not be so nice and kind. So we'll see. But that's okay. I think it's a great idea. I want to give feedback to everybody who are using Blog Talk Radio and let them understand where we're coming from. So we shall be starting in literally 10 seconds from now. Should be a good evening. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Alan Levy's show on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com, and I'm Alan Levy. As I put into my host channel description, I'm the guy who runs the place. Sometimes I like to admit it, and other times I don't. But I am proud to admit it tonight. Want to thank you for joining me. I thought it would be a good idea to create a show called Open Air Sunday, and we'll do that for a bit. We're going to take lots of calls today, hopefully. I want to get some feedback from many of the people that are using Blog Talk Radio. And we'll also have a guest tonight. That guest is Arnie Hertz, and he's a lawyer. He's got a website called, a blog called LegalSanity.com. And spoke to Arnie. He's going to be a guest on my show this evening. And we're looking forward to hearing what he has to say. I know he's going to be doing his own show on Blog Talk Radio, which is on October 10th. So we'll speak to Arnie. He should be calling me in a few minutes. Confirm with him. Anyway, thank you for joining me tonight. It's been a while since I've done shows. We've had personal obligations going on for the last few weeks, but I'm very happy to be here tonight. And I came back about a week ago from a show in California called the Podcast Expo. And I have to say it was a very enlightening time for me because the Podcast Expo was a show it's the second year the show has taken place. It takes place in Ontario, California. And it's essentially the industry conference for podcasting. So I decided to go this year, and I went with Jamie, and Jamie Minton works with me, and she's been really helpful to what we're doing here at Blog Talk Radio. And the two of us went, and I learned a tremendous amount. A few observations that I got from the show. First observation, which I'd like to say, is that when I created Blog Talk Radio, I did not intend it to be a podcasting company. I really didn't. What I thought we'd do here at Blog Talk Radio was give bloggers the ability to speak and interact with their audience in a live manner. Blogs are historical. Podcasts are historical. Blogs are very effective tools, and it's tremendous. There's 53 million of them, growing 100,000 a day. It's a phenomenal tool, but they're historical. So I thought that Blog Talk Radio would be a great platform for people that have a passion for what they do, and to talk about, would get on air and exchange ideas live with their audience, which they spend hours and hours and days cultivating. And I'd have to say we've been successful, at least in establishing that this is an effective medium. It remains to be seen where it goes and how widespread or broad this platform gets, but certainly within the first 2 months, I think we're pretty much confident that it is a viable platform. Now the podcasting piece. So I go over to the show, and because we are podcasters, right? Because when the shows are done, they're archived, and all the shows are archived in the host channel, and each of your host channel. You're also they are subscribable with RSS feeds, really simple syndication, and I must tell you that our RSS is anything but simple. It itself is a topic for another show. I'm trying to dumb down the whole RSS concept. But RSS feeds, in essence, is the ability to subscribe to a blog or subscribe to a podcast which appears in a let's say in a website or in an area that you frequent. Let's say I have a My Yahoo account and I subscribe the shows that interest me or the blogs that interest me into My Yahoo account. Anyway, so we have that. So RSS feeds is a requirement of being a podcast. So I went out to the show and it was packed. I mean, the keynote address was at about 1,000 people there. It was phenomenal. Second year of the show. It's a nascent industry. Let's understand this. I mean, blogging has been going on before podcasting, and podcasting's just, this is the second year of the show, and it was packed. And as I walked through the hall, I saw large companies, and some very well-financed companies, and other companies that were not well-financed. And you could tell that some of them may or may not be here in a year or so, but that's fine. That remains to be seen. But the industry leaders, let's say, of podcasting are Podshow, Adam Curry's company, which recently raised $15 million, Podango. Michael Arrington uses Podango. It's a large, well-financed podcasting company, and essentially they're content aggregators. That's what these podcasting companies are. Another one, Robert Scoble, who's the rock star of podcasting and blogs. He was there, and his company, PodTech, again, very large concern, content aggregators. As I walked through the hall, I saw not just these companies, but I saw many other companies. And what were they doing? There were companies that were selling podcasting equipment, very sophisticated digital recording equipment, compression equipment, mixers. I saw companies that were where you could listen to a podcast on your cell phone and not necessarily on an iPod. I saw magazine subscriptions for podcasting concerns. I saw a few different types of technologies and technology platforms, but in large part they were either podcasting companies that were at content aggregators or they were companies selling podcasting equipment to enable you to become a podcaster. Well, as I started walking through the facility and speaking to people that weekend, I asked the question about how do you deal with live podcasting? What do you think about the ability to engage your audience in a live manner? The stares I got, talk about deer in the headlights. What do you mean live? Live? No. That's not this conference. That's another conference. We don't, no, we record. You know, you've got to have a terrific quality recording, you can edit it, and you really got to take your time. You got to buy the $5,000 or $6,000 of equipment needed to record your podcast. Yeah, we've got some Belkin equipment, and we've got some Marantz. Oh, yeah, the finest Marantz. I mean, yeah, no question. You know, I mean, the quality, audio quality is just phenomenal. And then, of course, if you want to get your podcast shown or premiered or previewed, you'd have to audition to be on one of these shows, like Podshow. They actually audition hosts. Okay, so as I walked through here and I spoke to people, I said, you know, it's quite interesting. The blogging grew because it's open, it's free, it's flexible, it's easy, it's sharing, it's community, it's viral. It works, and it works terrifically. It's my view that podcasting, as the leaders of the industry are building it, is really going to have some tough times. And the reason for that is because it's anything but open. It's just anything but open. And I find that strange, and I think, and again, I'm early in this process, and yes, we've been around for a couple of months, we do offer podcasting. Shall I say we're a podcasting company? I won't go that far. We will have the same functionality as any podcasting company out there, except a few very notable differences. Number one, anybody can get on Blog Talk Radio. There's no audition. It's called empowerment. Someone said to me the other day, you're an enabler. Yes, that's right. We're an enabler. and we empower people to engage their audience live. And we give them the ability to archive that show and let their audience subscribe to it. That's number one. Number two, we don't require the host to purchase thousands of dollars worth of equipment. We use a phone. I am calling on my show on this phone. Is it the best quality? Is it Marantz digital compression quality? This and that? No, I don't know. I think it's okay. Can you hear me? Do you get what I'm saying? Can you understand? Is it legible? Why is it when you write a blog, you can make a typo? I've read books where they say, yeah, typos are fine, because it shows the impromptu sense of the author. The person writing the blog can make a mistake, can make a typo. It's free. It's open. Your next entry covers the last one. It supersedes it. So we use a phone. We use a Skype phone. I personally use a landline, which is fine. So number one, everybody can do it. And number two, we're enablers. And I'd like to carry on and continue on the discussion, but I think Arnie's on the phone, and we'd like to have him in. I know he's got around 15 minutes, so let's see if we can bring him on. Arnie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good, thank you. I don't know if you were listening before I got on. I was talking about my experience at the podcasting show out in California.
I did. I caught about 5 minutes of it.
I don't know. Do you do a podcast, actually?
I don't.
You know. You know, it's really an interesting thing, and it's not for the venue tonight. I mean, I've been talking about it on my show, of course, but the whole industry is shaping up to have some real challenges, I must say. But I'd like to welcome you to my show tonight. Arnie Hertz is on our show, and Arnie is a lawyer, an attorney, and his blog is it's a blog, right? LegalSanity.com.
That's correct.
And he was nice enough to join me, and I want to thank you for participating tonight.
Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure. And if you'd like to call Arnie or myself, the phone number is 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649, and we'll take questions and throughout the next 15 minutes or so. And Arnie, I know you're actually going to be hosting a show here, right?
I am, on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock.
Terrific. Well, I wish you the best of luck. It should be exciting.
Thank you.
So tell me about what you're using the blogosphere for, and I see that you've got some notes, and I went on your site before, and you noted there was a press notation here. Blogging is the time worth the return. Is that something that you have posted to your site?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what is your view? I mean, what are you getting from blogging, and how do you see it impacting what you do and what lawyers do in general?
Well, the main reason we launched Legal Sanity, when I say we, it's my wife, Lori Hers, and myself. Lori is the prime researcher and writer behind the blog, and also a lawyer. And we came up with the Legal Sanity blog and the Legal Sanity concept really to get out a message and to help me raise my profile in my training and development business.
Mm-hmm.
And to really help lawyers, and not just lawyers, we've expanded really beyond the legal sphere to professional service providers. It's also applicable to business people. I've given talks to all groups of people, and really helping people figure out how to engage in the service profession in a way that's fulfilling and not depleting. And the reason why it's so critical for lawyers is there's so many lawyers out there who are so burnt out and dissatisfied, and so many clients who are dissatisfied with their lawyers, that there's a tremendous amount of malaise in the system. And through Legal Sanity, we really try to highlight new trends of lawyering, new approaches to counseling, that, and new areas of scholarship, things that are happening in law schools, good developments throughout the legal world and beyond to really help lawyers rejuvenate their practices and connect with clients in a way that works for both the lawyer and for the client.
And is the let's say the industry, quote-unquote, industry of blogging for lawyers, has that been growing? I mean, is there a lot of lawyers that are blogging now? I know a few of them that I actually have met in the patent law area, but are others in litigation or in contract law and other areas getting into blogging?
I can't think of a legal area that's not covered by at least a couple blogs.
Mm-hmm.
So every possible area of legal practice, from immigration to litigation to appeals to quality of life, there's multiple blogs out there. I don't have the exact statistics on how many legal blogs there are, but one of the main providers of legal blogs, one of the people that helps you set it up, is called LexBlog, and I know they have some very good statistics over there.
Mm-hmm. And people reading blogs, are they other lawyers, would you say, that kind of want to understand what you're doing as a blogger, or they're people looking for legal advice?
Well, in my blog, which is really focused on helping lawyers achieve greater success in their careers, my audience, I think, is largely derived of lawyers, legal academic professors and deans and law students as well. So it's not so much clients, although I'm sure I do get some clients reading it. I think I'm really more on the end of getting the lawyers, the judges, the mediators, and the law professors in.
Now, how long has Legal Sanity been up?
We were actually one of the first blogs up. We launched June 4th of 2005.
Nice.
No, June 4th of 2004, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
June 4th, 2004. So we've been up now almost 2.5 years.
You've been up just a bit longer than YouTube.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be worth $1.6 billion too soon.
I think we're worth about $1 billion right now. but if someone came up with $700 million, I'd probably consider it.
Okay. I just leave you. I have your email address. I'll forward it over if I hear that. And you're also affiliated with the law.com. I mean, that's probably is that the preeminent legal blog right now, the largest read and most visited?
Well, law.com is not a blog. Law.com is a legal portal that's owned by American Lawyer Media, and I think it's the most read legal website in the world. My understanding is that they have over 1 million page views a month, and law.com has set up their own blog called the Legal Blog Watch, and the Legal Blog Watch is a group of 19, I believe it's 19 right now, 19 leading blogs covering different topics in the legal world. And then they have two people who are the editors and who cull information and blog posts, and they write about what's happening in the legal blog network and beyond. There's law.com's Legal Blog Watch, and of which Legal Sanity is one of the 19 featured blogs in the Legal Blog Watch.
So I see that you as indicated, and you also note, you give kudos to your wife and the time she spends on this, and that's terrific. Do you spend a lot of time actually practicing law, and that's what you're really doing? And what type of law do you personally specialize in, or do you specialize in any area?
Well, lawyers aren't allowed to say they specialize in anything, but I focus my practice on business law. The answer is yes, I spend most of my time practicing law. So the examples where I talk about how to relate to clients in an effective way, how to deal with adversaries, how to deal with judges, it all comes from the current fodder that I get on a day-to-day basis as a practicing lawyer. And my main focus is business law, representing small to mid-sized companies as their outside general counsel, everything from employment issues to contractual issues, leases, disputes. I help them negotiate through complex problems, try to chart out a fairly efficient solution.
And where is that? Where do you practice?
I practice in Port Washington, New York, which is just outside of New York City.
I see. And if someone wanted to get some advice in anywhere in Long Island or Nassau County or New York City, you can practice in New York?
That's correct. I also have a very active trademark practice, which is a national practice. So clients who are interested in filing a federal trademark registration, I help clients throughout the country.
I see. And if people wanted to contract your services, they can go to legalsanity.com?
That's correct. And there's a contact button where they can reach me through there.
Terrific. Okay.
I also, the other part of my practice, which is indicated in Legal Sanity, there's three main aspects to my legal career. One is being a lawyer. Two is being a mediator. I have a real commitment to helping parties in the dispute come to quick resolution that makes sense on their terms. That's the beauty of mediation. It's on their terms, not some judge not some overworked, disinterested judge telling you what to do. The parties actually get the wherewithal to figure it out themselves.
Now, do you get appointed as a mediator by the court?
In some cases, I'm appointed by the court. I was a mediator for a complex commercial dispute arising out of the World Trade Center cleanup site back on September 11th. And I was appointed by the court for that one and multiple cases from the court. And then I have a number of private clients that come to me directly without going into litigation first.
I see. And you would have to, let's see, be approved by both parties, plaintiff and defendant?
Yes, both parties, because it's a voluntary process, unless the court is sending them to mediation to me, but even then the parties could veto it, but they generally have not. I haven't had an experience where someone's vetoed me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's the second component. The third component is my training and development programs for lawyers and business professionals. And I've now given over 50 programs in the last 5 years to over 3,000 lawyers and business owners on how to optimize the experience and the results in the legal atmosphere.
You know, lawyers used to have one of the worst reputations, but I think politicians have done a really good job superseding that.
Yeah, well, you know, lawyers have a bad reputation, but there's a lot of really fantastic lawyers out there doing some amazing work. And I was thinking about this morning as I was checking the news on my BlackBerry first thing this morning, which is what I often do. And I, you know, read the story about this journalist in Russia who was assassinated yesterday, this female journalist who was the most active journalist turning up much corruption that's happening in Russia and torture, and she was very active there, and she was assassinated. And I really thought about what incredible courage it takes to be a journalist and how important it is to be a journalist and how important it is to be a lawyer. And I thought of those two professions, law and journalism, of really helping advance the world and uncover injustice and bringing things back to justice. So lawyers do have a bad reputation, and yet at the same time, we would be living in an awfully bad world if it weren't for the legal rules that we have and the lawyers that we have that enforce it. So I also think that lawyers do some great work.
I agree. I also think that being involved in some commercial litigation myself, I was the president of a public company, and so obviously I was exposed to a lot of things. It's the court system that is somewhat flawed, you know. And it's not so much the law, as the lawyers kind of work with the rules that they're given in certain circumstances. It's a system that's a bit flawed. But, you know, I agree with you on that other matter. We had actually a whole panel here about this the other night on Atlas Shrugged Show on Blog Talk Radio about this gentleman, Chowdhury, who is in Bangladesh. He's a Muslim, but he's speaking on behalf of, you know, calming relations between Jews and Christians and Islam, and he was arrested in Bangladesh and beaten. And maybe he'll be murdered because he wants peace. It's amazing.
Well, it is amazing, and this is just the nature of the world we live in right now. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. On the program for Tuesday night, for your callers and for your listeners who may be interested on the Tuesday night program, we're really going to focus in on, there's a lot of talk about, you were talking about the legal system and its problem. And one of the things about XE Factor that we'll talk about is we'll get down to the roots of the dispute and what it is that is required to change something from dispute to resolution. And what happens is the nature of the parties when they go into a conflict, they are in a certain energetic state. They're in a certain state of mind. So you could put them together in a room to try to resolve it, and they start talking about the issues, and almost invariably it's a bigger problem afterwards. So what does it take to really turn a problem around to bring about a resolution so you don't end up in the system that's very much fueling it and oftentimes making it a lot worse before it burns itself out?
Yeah, I think that's going to be very useful. Very useful. Now, you know, again, a lot of the shows on Blog Talk Radio that we have here are hosted by bloggers, you know, hence the name Blog Talk Radio, and they've been using the promo buttons to let people know, to alert them on their blog or their site that they have a talk show, or you could click that and get right to your host channel. Have you thought about how you may want to promote your shows and so people can listen in and call in clients or not?
Well, I'm going to do a blog post on it. This is my first time doing it. I saw that thing, but I don't know how I would put it in and where I would put it in on my blog template. I don't have access to the back end. I have to get my blog company to do that for me.
But who's it, Blogger? Or WordPress? Who?
I use, I have to be, I forget the name of the software that I use.
Well, you can do this. I mean, we've got promotional buttons on a whole bunch of them on our site, which will feed right back to your host channel on Blog Talk Radio. If you like, you can send us an email tomorrow. If you'd like, you can send me an email at alanlevy@blogtalkradio.com, and I'll forward you. We'll work with you and get it up there and help you get that done.
Fabulous. If you go down, if you're online now, if you go to Legal Sanity,
yes.
If you scroll down all the way to the bottom,
okay,
you'll see links.
Yeah.
In the middle, do you see that?
Yes.
You see the first one says Arnie Hirsch Talk Show.
Okay. Actually, there's nothing on here under links.
All the way down at the bottom.
I'm in here. It's blank on mine.
Oh,
so
really?
I've got recently, and then I see subscribe with the RSS feed, but there's nothing under links.
How do you like that? Okay.
Yeah. So we've been putting that. Some people have been putting that kind of above the crease, just to indicate you've got a talk show and you know, listen live and just hit people hit that. People who actually have email databases. Some people have email databases. They'll communicate, and we of course have a. In our guide, we're getting more and more people on Blog Talk Radio, and they're checking out different shows, and your shows is actually one of the featured shows.
Okay, fabulous.
So we're looking forward to it, and I think it's a great platform for lawyers to engage their audience, to help people with questions. We have a divorce lawyer. Actually, he has done a number of shows here, Dennis Levine. He's been very successful, got a lot of questions. People just have questions, and they sometimes don't know the – they don't have the ability to access this information without a huge sum. And they just, so this would be quite interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Well, look, I will certainly contact you also and figure out how to get that button put up on.
Yeah, that'd be terrific. And if you're, and any of the other folks at law.com, I think this is an interesting platform for really almost any industry and certainly serves people that are providing a service and looking to broaden their reach and engage their audience, let's say, in a real-time manner and with some complicated issues where you have the ability, you can't write everything out, where you have the ability to engage them. And, of course, these are podcasts, and you could, you know, these can be subscribed as well with RSS feeds. I think it should be helpful. So I look forward to your show, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the show, and good luck to you as well.
Thank you, Arnie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Arnie Hirsch, everybody. He's a nice guy. LegalSanity.com. Arnie, I spoke to Arnie a couple of weeks ago. Very busy guy. We agreed we would be on the air for 15 minutes, and we are on the air for 15 minutes. We had another guest scheduled tonight. I wasn't able to confirm it. It was Dan Lafferty was scheduled to come on, and we talked about it, but I hadn't touched base with him in about a week. So we'll get him back on the show. Next Sunday, I've got Cinnamon Stillwell. She's a political columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, and she's also going to be a host on Blog Talk Radio. One of the things that I've been doing, I've been interviewing hosts on Blog Talk Radio and talking about what they do and why they came to Blog Talk Radio and just look forward to seeing them succeed here. Once again, if you like, we can... take your calls. I have another call coming in. Anyone would like to call, it's 347-677-0649. I'll take a call now from 310. Hi, you're on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Alan. It's Eric Schwartzman.
Eric, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific, terrific.
I noticed you were on the air, so I figured I'd call in and say hi.
Excellent. That's terrific. Well, that's really, thank you for calling.
Sure. Well, what are we talking about?
Well, I was talking a little about the Podcast Expo. First, let me introduce you.
Okay.
Eric Schwartzman is a gentleman that I met. He's a gentleman I met at the Podcast Expo, which was out last weekend, and he's in L.A. And, of course, we have this little thing. We haven't really talked much about it with the Mets-Dodger thing, you know, resolved last night, of course.
Right.
And
right.
But Eric's CEO of iPressman. He's a terrific PR guy, and he's a good guy, nice guy. So I had a couple of things we were talking about. So this is Open Air Sunday, and I've been taking calls from people. And I had a guest on. His name is Arnie Hirsch. He's from LegalSanity.com. It's a blog. It's one of the most popular bloggers in the legal service profession.
What's it called?
LegalSanity.com.
Okay.
And he has a blog that he, and he's also going to be a host on Blog Talk Radio, where he just provides guidance to other lawyers, he's a mediator, and other people looking for legal advice. It's quite extensive, his site. And he's also affiliated with law.com, which is a legal portal. So that's one of the things we were talking about.
Got it.
And we were also talking about the Podcast Expo.
Yeah.
What was your thought about the Podcast Expo?
Well, I thought it was a pretty good show. You know, I was only in for one day. I gave a talk on building a business case for podcasting, which was designed for people who are considering podcasting for marketing communications. You know, how you would sell it into the person who holds the purse strings, or you know, the person with P&L responsibility, because you know, so many of us are actually sold on podcasting already. We don't need to sell ourselves on it. Many times, you know, we're confronted with someone who signs the checks, and we have to convince them that it's a good idea when they're looking at other means of communication. And so that was the seminar that I gave. You know, my feeling was, it's its second year now. I was there last year as well. It definitely seems like it's growing up. But I think there still seems to be a lot of people sort of looking for the answer on how to apply podcasting, and a lot of different answers, you know, depending on who you ask.
Do you think there's a gap between what the large corporates can provide in terms of, you know, their resources and producing shows and having, you know, the right equipment and, you know, Johnson & Johnson versus, you know, Joe Johnson, who's a blogger who wants to do a podcast? I mean, do you think there's a divergence being created here?
Well, I mean, the consensus certainly seems to be that it's the small organizations that are more equipped to take advantage of new media because, you know, there's less management and getting to yes is a lot easier and there's more autonomy. So, you know, you can make decisions that are going to lead to better programming. But I don't feel as though, you know, small organizations or really anyone has a lock on creativity. I think creativity can come from anywhere and usually does. So I would look to see a lot of the larger organizations who maybe are slow to get into podcasting. I think they'll be embracing it wholeheartedly within the next probably 18 months, I would say.
Do you think, and I know we talked about this, and I appreciate your point of view, and we talked about the ability to conduct a live show. Does that change the equation a little? Do you feel it's a bit more engaging, or do you feel that it's not necessary, that a podcast is a podcast and it's content?
Well, when it comes to a podcast is by definition an audio program served over an RSS feed. So it's on-demand programming. Now, that's not to say that there isn't necessarily a place for live programming over the Internet. I can think of a number of applications that would be useful. Anything related to sports. I mean, me personally, you know, if I TiVo the game, I have to get home and see that game before somebody tells me who won. And that's tough. You know, I've got to, in the elevators of my building, there's a little screen, and they run pictures of what's going on. And on the Internet, you know, they'll be letting us know who won the game. So, you know, you've got these spoilers everywhere you look in this 24/7 media universe. And I think sports programming is impervious to on-demand because you want to see it live, the same with news. And so I can think of a number of different applications where you're going to want that information live, i.e. A conference call, a corporate earnings conference call. I mean, the analysts are not going to want that information on demand. They're going to want it right away so that they can write their reports and write their coverage, which may be of interest to people who are obviously speculative traders and people who are investing in the market. So I could think of a number of different applications where having it live is a benefit. But the podcast is really sort of.
But it's different. I understand. I'm not sure, because we've had this conversation. What I'm referring to, Larry King Live does a show, and he has guests on, and it's live. It's conducted live in a live manner, and it's quite engaging. He also has, you don't know what's going to occur. It's not scripted, right? Two people have a conversation. And again, when you have a podcast, two people have a conversation as well. When people call in with questions, the conversation goes in a direction that one may not expect. For example, my show tonight, I didn't know you were calling, so you're calling now. So some people may listen to this and say, hey, you know, this is an engaging conversation. Certainly hope so. But when the show's done, it's archived. And then it's a podcast. It's the same podcast as Arrington's podcast that he did for Podango, or your podcast that you did for someone else, except that the platform is open to spontaneity. That's all. That's the difference, I think, subtly. It's not that the act of listening, I'm not talking about the act of listening live to this show right now that's relevant to the discussion, because clearly a platform like Blog Talk Radio and other live platforms are much different than a recorded episode that you go on and listen to on demand. But when that live episode becomes an archived episode with the same features and functionality as a podcast, where's the difference there?
Well, I guess there are two separate issues. The first issue is the spontaneity. And you should be able to achieve that spontaneity whether the call is being streamed live or whether or not it's just a conference call service that is being recorded. I mean, that spontaneity would be the same because it's occurring in real time.
But podcasts aren't, in essence, conference calls, right? And then on your podcast that you do.
They are. So, like, I know that there are a number of what happens is these corporate earning conference calls.
Yes.
You know, happen regularly when the quarterlies are filed with the SEC, are often recorded and archived and either served as a digital download off the website or made available via RSS as a podcast. And in both cases, I would think that the spontaneity, I don't know how much spontaneity there really is in a
yeah, that's
one of those
a different
calls,
thing.
But whatever happens, you know, live in that setting with the analysts asking their questions and what have you, is recorded and made available. The fact that you're hearing it live, I mean, to me, the benefit of that is, you know, the immediacy of that information. And so if it is information that's tied to news of the day, if it's information that is sports-related.
I'll give you an example. I spoke to an individual on Friday who has raised $1 billion for the Republican Party. $1 billion. I mean, it's not a million, 10 million, a billion. It's an unbelievable number, right? Washington-based guy, nice guy, we were talking, and he's creating a platform that is focused on political campaigning. And it's a medium with a lot of similarity to what we're doing at Blog Talk Radio. And when I spoke to him at Blog Talk Radio, and I was talking to him about how politicians could potentially use this platform, he was convinced. Why? A politician could come onto Blog Talk Radio and host their own town hall meeting. They have the ability, first of all, they create their own platform, their own host channel. They have the ability to take calls from voters. There's unlimited streaming, and it's archived. There's also the ability to have a link to their blog. Of course, most politicians are blogging now, and that's going to be bigger and better, a much easier and inexpensive tool than other more traditional methods of electioneering. But not
well,
even
I mean,
election.
That's odd. That's a perfect application, I would say.
Right. So the comedians trying out material. So there's a lot of, and again, this is evolving, but that's a perfect application. And this gentleman was convinced of that. He said there's no it's perfect because you have the ability to reach whoever you want to reach, and it's easy, and it's inexpensive, and it's interactive. So that's just another example. I know, you know, we talked about baseball, you know, sports and news, of course, but I think there may be others.
So let me ask you something. Do
yeah.
you see perhaps the timeliness of the introduction of Blog Talk Radio being something that could be a bellwether for the midterm elections? Are you seeing an inordinate number of policymakers and campaign hopefuls using the service to do just that?
Not yet. I see that, you know, 2 weeks ago I had Ken Melman on a blog show, Say Anything Goes blog. He called Blog Talk Radio. He was on for 15 minutes. It's on our homepage. And it was quite effective. It was the Republican national chairman calling in, talking about why the Republicans are the place to be. We launched August 1st, and I believe that for this election it's too late. I think the dollars are spent. I think that for the next election it's going to be enormous. I mean, this gentleman felt that we could, that presidential elections can be run on this type of a platform.
Wow. Well, I mean, certainly we saw, you know, before he, you know, self-destructed, we certainly saw Howard Dean tap the internet for significant fundraising activity.
Right. And that was, you know, but it was, right, that was significant. Obviously, he was a weak candidate. But this gentleman was Republican. And, you know, again, for any candidate of any office, even if it's for school elections, how about this? How about teachers who want to do conference, who are conducting their large classrooms for 300-400 people, and they want to do it over the web streaming?
Alan, I almost like those applications better than something like a presidential election, when they're really looking to, you know, get a message broadcast to a wide audience, as opposed to niche casting. I think that could be the real opportunity for, you know, this type of application.
Yes. Well, we've had, one of the things we have had a lot of, we've had a number of comedians who are on MySpace who use Blog Talk Radio as a platform to try out material.
Who's funniest?
Who's funniest? There's a guy, Mike Trainer. He's actually, he does a show on Blog Talk Radio. He's down in North Carolina right now. He was a guest on my show. Guy was hilarious. We were just talking. There's one guy I want to get on here who mixes political and comedy, which is Sash, the guy from, he's on HBO. He does that, he's crazy. Sasha Baron.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Yeah, funny guy.
I'm going to work on
him. Kazakhstan guy.
Yeah, the guy.
As a matter of fact, you know, the country of Kazakhstan has retained a PR firm, because they're so upset about some of the statements and jokes that this guy makes about them.
Is that right?
Yeah, actually they did. And there was one joke in particular, something about a drink made from from lamb urine or sheep urine or something, which, you know, apparently it's made from sheep milk, and they wanted it to be known publicly. not interested in ingesting, you know.
This guy was interviewing Brent Socroft. Okay, I mean, and Patrick Buchanan, they don't know the guy's not for real. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, you know, once you're out of the limelight, you, I would imagine, you know, when you're in the limelight, you've got these staffs that are really on the ball, and you can rely on them to vet and check out what's going on. I got to think, once you're out of office, that all disappears.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're not necessarily, you don't know how to do things for yourself, because they've been done for you for so long. And I guess that's what happened to those guys. But as you can see, the show's no longer on the air because everybody found out.
I guess that may be true. But, you know, it's true that, you know, these people love to be interviewed, though, too. You know, you call them up and saying, I'm doing a national, you know, I'm doing a TV show. Here's the equipment. Recorders coming in. People love to talk.
It's a very good point. You know, being in public relations, being somebody who is constantly working with the media on behalf of clients, it's interesting what happens to somebody when the media shows up. I mean, in many cases, they almost are just willingly ready to sacrifice their privacy, say things they wouldn't normally say. And, you know, that's where somebody like me becomes important, because I help keep the client in check and make sure that they don't say things they don't want to say, or you know, set themselves up to deliver on false expectations sometime in the future.
I mean, I found that, I mean, even on this platform, people love to talk, and people love to listen. People enjoy listening to just stuff. It's like reality TV. I can't make sense of it. Big Brother and all the stuff, all the stuff that's going on. So I find it quite interesting, and I'm going to get that. Maybe now that he doesn't do a show on HBO, he's primed to come on Blog Talk Radio.
Sasha Cohen Baron.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's got a movie coming out, a feature movie, Borat.
Okay, Borat. That's one of the characters he plays.
That is, yes.
Oh, it's terrific.
Guy from Kazakhstan.
Yeah, it's terrific. Well, you know, he would be very, he's hilarious. So, later on, and he has a show on Sirius Radio as well, and we have got another guy, Lamont Carey. He's on HBO The Wire. He does a show. So,
Let's get this
straight. It's a lot of fun.
I'm talking to you on a regular phone line.
Yes.
And somehow you've got technology that is connecting this with a website. And explain to me how it works.
Right. It's really the only one. I mean, we're using the phone as the coordination. We've merged old technology and phone with new Web 2.0 capability. So we essentially have a conference bridge that can accommodate five simultaneous calls. So we have three other people can be on the phone right now. The five of us can be talking. We've connected this conference bridge to a number of things. One, we've connected to a streaming tool to allow a limited streaming. We've also connected it to an archiving tool to then archive the shows. And we've built a very sophisticated back end which allows hosts to create their own shows, manage their own switchboard, and do all the things that you need to do to actually produce your own on-air show.
So you're telling me when I called in, you're actually looking at the computer?
Yes.
And what do you see?
I'm looking at a switchboard, and the switchboard shows that I'm on air, that my show started at 9 o'clock.
A switchboard, Alan. I'm thinking of a 1920s movie.
Call it a switchboard. 1920s, right. We've, like the AT&T operator. No.
Yeah,
we've got...
Go ahead.
Right. Our switchboard...
520.
Our switchboard actually is just it's on the desktop. It's a screen that says that you're on air. It shows me I'm on air now, so I know that I'm on air. And it shows the phone numbers of the people that are calling in.
Okay.
So right now I've got two phone numbers that are live, my number and your number.
Okay.
And I have the ability to pick up a call by clicking on an icon that accepts the call. I can hang up the call. I can mute the call.
And this is proprietary technology that you're using?
That we've developed. That's right.
And does it work in a Microsoft environment?
It works in a Microsoft environment. It works in a Mac environment. Works in both environments.
It's either or.
Yes, you could use either or. We're using a Windows Media Player is what the device is that it's streaming over.
I noticed that.
And so that is, you know, widely acceptable. There's no software that's downloaded. And in fact, we had a show that was hosted by a Katrina, a poet. His name was Pod Poet. And on the one-year anniversary of the Katrina, he has a website. He's the largest Katrina poet writer on the web. He had a show scheduled where he was going to read a material that was submitted by people who lived through that disaster down there. And then the day that it occurred, the Pod Poet lost his internet connection. But anyway, let me just try this out. We got another call, so hold on, Eric. You're on the call. Hi, 213. You're on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Eric. Hello, Alan. Brian Humphrey from the Los Angeles Fire Department Talk Radio Cast.
That.
I just wanted to call to say good evening and to say that I'm enjoying the show.
Ah, Brian, thank you very much. Eric is a fellow L.A. Citizen.
Yeah, Brian, you're one of the guys who puts out the fires when we got them. And, boy, we've had some pretty big ones over the last few years here in L.A.
Well, indeed, we have, and we're looking to leverage this technology to keep people informed. As Alan has mentioned, a possible town hall meeting. Imagine the neighborhood firefighters or the fire chief interacting and taking calls, getting feedback as to the job we're doing, and addressing concerns and getting rid of rumors. And that's where we plan on utilizing the blogtalkradio.com technology.
What a great idea. How fabulous.
I have to say that, Brian, I know you've been a firefighter for 20 years. Brian is amazingly dedicated to the Los Angeles Fire Department, and he's actually was something like host number 6 here on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we believe in the technology, Alan. You made it available to us, and we're proud to be early adopters, and we're going to stick through this, through the beta phase, into the alpha phase, and as we say, on to gamma.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, Eric and I have been talking about ways that we can kind of spread the word a little of Blog Talk Radio and see, you know, how many different platforms, you know, who else we could share this with. I know that you see some interesting utility with this, right?
Well, absolutely. People need to be able to interact, and people see the firefighters going down the street on the fire engine, maybe not lights and siren to an emergency, but they'd love to tell us something or ask a question. And this allows us to break down the barrier, not only in our own city, but indeed worldwide. Should there be a time of duress here in Los Angeles, we can address concerns and handle rumor control and then archive it. And that's the great thing. People can listen now or listen later, listen at their leisure. We're an agency that's proud to be accountable for our word, and by documenting what we say and what we do and making it available, it really fulfills our mission. And we can't be thankful enough to what you've offered us, Alan, and we really do believe that this is going to be on to great things.
Well, I hope so.
Can you give us a real-world example of how you've used it in the past and the impact it's had?
Well, here at the LAFD, we've hosted a total of 4 shows, and thus far, the feedback has been phenomenal. We established an email account specific to the show, and we've received dozens of inquiries. We had a little bit of a contest, and we're able to give away a T-shirt, an LAFD T-shirt, to one of our callers. And we found that was a great way to get people to come into our show. And I'd encourage other talk show hosts here on Blog Talk Radio to do something like that, to establish an account and develop an interaction and ask people to send an answer to a quiz or what have you. Set up some simple rules. And the feedback has really been important. It's that back channel information that's important, along with the show notes and other things that allows us to convey. Thankfully, we haven't had a major disaster, but simple things such as outlining what the fire department does or what you can do to stay safe in the event of a fire in your home. Or, in fact, today's show was about how to visit the fire station and making that a positive experience for the young and old alike. So we see it as a great way to offer these this information and to make it permanent.
But think about this, too. I mean, when a fire chief, for example, we spoke about this, I mean, some senior fire officials or police officials want to communicate to the citizens of a town, forget the city of Los Angeles, a town, they have so few opportunities. They have 5 minutes, you know, 2 minutes in a soundbite from a TV, a news show. What other medium do you have, actually, to hear what the fire chief or the senior officers have to say?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we obviously can't be on Larry King every night on CNN, and we don't have that opportunity. But what Larry King doesn't even offer us is that feedback loop, that constant feedback to make sure where we're going. And to be honest with you, some of the fire chiefs have expressed concern. They say, well, how do I control this? And I say, you don't. It's Web 2.0. It's no different than a town hall meeting. If someone wishes to stand up in the back of a town hall meeting and say something obstreperous, they're going to do that. But the same way here, there's this common set of decency. It's self-policing. And we see people really being very supportive. Our callers have been just wonderful with us, and it's been a very positive experience, enough so to where I plan on getting at least one of our 5 fire commissioners online at a future show. And this is a big step forward.
And, Brian, were you the person at the Los Angeles Fire Department who led in this initiative?
Well, indeed I was. They call me the chief propeller head. If you might imagine, they gave me a fire helmet at one time with a little wind-up propeller on the top because I am somewhat of a techie. As a firefighter and a paramedic, though, I know from firsthand experience dealing with people in the streets is there's always this need to communicate and to follow up or to ask those questions. And I'll be quite frank with you, people here will ask questions via Blog Talk Radio that they wouldn't feel comfortable asking in person, would feel awkward, and it's broken down so many barriers. I have been the one pushing this technology, and it's been very simple to use. And the great thing, of course, and I must commend Alan, Alan, you treat your people so well, every member of your team, from what I hear and what I see. It's not just you being a figurehead, but you've got a great team of very dedicated people behind you, and that spells success. It happens in the fire service, and I see it in this emerging technology.
Now, Brian, I have a good friend who is in the Los Angeles Police Department. He's also a podcasting enthusiast, but his podcast is entirely unrelated to his work for the LAPD, and I had said to him at one point, hey, why don't you do something with the LAPD? Wouldn't this be a great tool for them? And his feeling was, well, yeah, it would, but I don't think I could sell it in. I think, you know, the red tape would just be too thick, and I don't think I'd be successful. So I haven't gone down that road. What did you do? How did you pull this off?
Well, we have a little different philosophy. I did work in law enforcement before I came into the fireside, and especially for those law enforcement officers listening, know that we have brought such traditional agencies as the LAPD into the blog world. In fact, I met with Police Chief Bratton himself at length, encouraging them to start their blog, and they do have a conventional blog at the Los Angeles Police Department. I believe it's just a matter of time until they implement this type of technology to bridge that gap. Their blog is going very well. Blog Talk Radio seems to be the natural extension beyond there. And the great thing is, as Alan told you, with the calls coming in, you have an idea where they're coming from. So, for example, in our 213 area code or the 5 area codes in our city, the police chief or somebody else coming online or a fire chief has an idea when they're taking local calls. And when multiple calls, they can focus on alternating between out-of-town and in-town visitors to get the different perspective. I think it's just a matter of time until LAPD and other law enforcement agencies see this as the extension of their natural town hall meetings or their crime watch and neighborhood watch type programs.
Well, let me just say, I'm not trying, I didn't mean to pick on law enforcement or anything like that. I would think you would have the same challenges at any large organization in the public or private sector.
Well, we do, and of course, the blessing here is I work for the fire chief, Bill Bamatri. He's the best fire chief in the nation. His philosophy is go for it. It's better to ask forgiveness than always ask for permission, but to be accountable for everything we do. So he encourages us to push the envelope. There's a common motto, in fact, it's up here behind me in my office on the wall, that says, we can no longer afford to work at the speed of government. And here at the Los Angeles Fire Department, we take that with tongue-in-cheek, of course, and understand that we have to push the envelope. I mean, we're active in a lot of Web 2.0 development, everything from Dig and YouTube to here to Blog Talk Radio. And this has been, truly, to be honest with you, in the last 6 months, the most rewarding project we've been involved with.
Well, you also participate in the 9/11 tribute show.
And that was really great, and I think the families in the years ahead, many as these young children, even though I'm in Los Angeles, I felt this bond, and I lost four people that I know in the attacks in our nation. And I think their families will do great things. I mean, this audio can be saved. It can be downloaded.
We had you know what's interesting, and Eric, you might not know this, and our audience, because many of our audience is new, we hosted a 9/11 tribute show. We had 2.5 hours of material that was collected. We took hours and hours putting it together, and some music, and we had people read, and Brian was one of the individuals that read from calling using the Blog Talk Radio platform live, read some pieces of some firefighters that about tributes to firefighters that died that day, and it was very touching. But what was interesting, one piece was read, a lady was listening to Blog Talk Radio and heard it, and she called, it was about, she called the daughter of the person who died and said, they're reading about your father now on Blog Talk Radio. She said, what's Blog Talk Radio? And she went on and listened to the end of this piece, and we got an email from her. You know, again, this is a new platform. We need to get the word out. We need desperately to let people be informed, but that's how powerful it was, and Brian helped that, and it was a terrific evening.
Well, gentlemen, I know you're coming towards the end of your show here. Alan, I'm going to let you wrap up.
Thank
I've
you.
Just received reports there's a hazardous material spill in the port of Los Angeles I'm going to have to rush off to. And that'll probably be a topic on one of our next shows at our LAFD channel. And we encourage your visitors to stop by the Los Angeles Fire Department Blog Talk Radio program. We hope to be back up again next Sunday to talk about this and more.
Okay. Thanks, Brian, for calling.
Good night.
That was Brian Humphreys from the LAFD. He's a great guy.
I'm going to listen to his show. It sounds great. And you know what? I'm going to sign off, too, so I can let you sign off on your show.
I will. And thank you for calling. I'm glad we had this chance to chat, and I guess we're going to speak tomorrow, too.
Yeah, this has been very educational for me. So.
That's good, and I'm glad you heard. And Brian's a great guy. And your question was – he didn't answer it directly, but he is pushing the envelope, and he's doing a phenomenal job with them.
Really?
And that's I could tell you, it's probably one or a half of 1% of any of these institutions in America right now.
Wow.
Of pushing the envelope, and he's amazing. So I want to thank him, and thank you for calling.
My pleasure.
All right, be well. That's Eric Schwartzman, everybody, and Brian Humphreys. We had a nice conversation. Anyone who can offer kudos to us, we'll take it. We'll take it. We certainly have our share of issues, and we're trying very hard, and Brian knows, here at Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everybody for being so great, and I'm very excited about this platform. And I guess in large part because, really in most part, because when I hear Brian Humphreys get on the phone and just what he said, nothing else is important, I have to tell you. I mean it. Forget finance, forget any. That we can provide a service to a large group of we are defining a new medium. At least that's what we think. And it's people like Brian and others who are with us here on Blog Talk Radio who are working through this beta phase. Clearly, we have a lot to do, and we're very excited. And we listen to what you have to say. Please visit us at our site at blogtalkradio.com. Enjoy the technology. And we offer, we will love to get your comments and suggestions. So with that, I'm going to be out for this evening. I'd like to say thank you to Eric and Arnie for my guest, Legal Sanity, and, of course, Brian Humphreys with the LAFD. And I look forward to doing my show next weekend with Cinnamon Stillwell. I believe I have another show scheduled for Wednesday night, which we will. I'll be posting the contents of that show. We're going to make it exciting. Once again, thank you. This is Alan Levy on Blog Talk Radio. Have a good night.